Good morning, Barbados. I'm Mardell Knight, a member of the Ruby Church of the Nazarene, and it is my joy to welcome you to this morning's edition of Because He Lives. As the sun rises on this beautiful Sunday morning, we come together for our final program of the year. This broadcast is sponsored by Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. We thank God for their support in helping us share the good news of Jesus Christ with you throughout the year. As we prepare our hearts for this time of reflection and encouragement, let us focus on the faithfulness of God. He has carried us through the ups and downs of this year, and we can trust Him for the journey ahead. Let us begin this morning in prayer, inviting God's presence into this moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this quiet morning, we pause to give you thanks for your mercies, which are new every morning. Thank you for waking us up, for the breath in our lungs, and for the hope we have in you. As we gather for this program, we invite your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Bless every listener tuning in this morning. May they feel your presence, experience your love, and be renewed in their faith. May every word spoken bring you glory and draw us closer to you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Christmas season has come and gone, but the message of Christmas, God with us, remains true every single day of the year. As we soon pack away decorations and say goodbye to another season, let us remember that Jesus is the light that never fades. This morning, as we stand on the brink of a new year, it is a good time to reflect on the past and prepare our hearts for the future. Maybe this year brought challenges, heartaches, and unexpected detours. Or perhaps it was a year of blessings and joy. Whatever your story, I want to remind you that God has been with you through it all. And as the song goes, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. But because I know He holds the future and life is worth living because He lives. As we look to the new year, take comfort in these words from Lamentations 3:22-23. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful and He has promised to do new things in your life. Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee and the right hand of my righteousness. So let us enter 2025 with courage and faith, knowing that God is already there, making a way for us. Now this morning, we are blessed to hear from a servant of God who has dedicated his life in fulfilling God's purpose. Reverend Caswell Jemmott is a humble man with a heart to please the Lord in all that he does. He serves as the pastor of Western Light Church of the Nazarene and has been a source of encouragement to so many in our community. So let's prepare your heart to hear the word of God from Reverend Jemmott, a man whose life and ministry reflect his deep love for Christ.
A blessed good morning to you, and may God's favor continue to be upon you as you celebrate the season of Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ into our world. Let us pray. Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us to be alive in your world. We praise you for your gift of life. We ask that as we take this time to meditate on your words of truth, that you will speak your word to our hearts, which would enable us to live as you would desire us to live, in trusting fellowship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a word with you today from a text that would seem unusual in this Christmas season, but which expresses perfectly what I want to speak about in our time together. It is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28, and reads like this. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Within the last few days, we celebrated the coming of Jesus Christ into the world in the form of a baby over 2,000 years ago. For many people, such a long passage of time is enough to cause anything that happened then to fade into irrelevance. And for many people today, the reason for the coming of Jesus is either forgotten or irrelevant. Our Bible text for today reminds us of the purpose of Jesus' coming, but also presents us with a startling reminder that the story of Jesus does not end with his birth, or even his death and resurrection, but that this same Jesus will return once again to this earth, and the purpose will be much different. What I want to do this morning is to remind persons that in this Christmas season, we need to celebrate the coming of Jesus into our world to bring us release from God's punishment from sin, but also to remember that he will appear a second time, not to bring sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him, as our text says. Christmas ought to be a dual celebration of God's past action in Christ and the confident expectation of his return to take those who are in relationship with him into God's eternal kingdom. So today I want to contrast some aspects of the birth of Jesus with his anticipated second arrival. This message is not so much about what has happened in the past, but what is to come in the future. Christmas, as most people conceive it, is a celebration of the past. It is the celebration that at a certain time in human history, the Son of God came into our world to bring salvation. But Christmas ought not to be and cannot be solely about the past, because the Son of God who came into our world spoke much about the future. Jesus came before, but he's coming again, and his second coming will not be like the first. When Jesus first came into our world, his birth was a lowly birth. His mother Mary was a relative nobody. She was not the daughter of wealth or nobility or of the religious leaders. She came from a small town in Bethlehem. Few people knew about Jesus' coming and his birth outside of Mary, Joseph, their families, and Elizabeth and Zachariah, because it was somewhat of a scandal. Jesus, when he was born, his birth was not heralded. There was no fanfare. He was born into a stable, we would call, and his first cradle was a manger. And he likely had the household animals for company. But he came into the world to be the savior of the whole world. Who would have thought that this child, born in such humble circumstances, without any fanfare, without too much recognition, would be the Son of God sent to earth to bring salvation to mankind? Scott Wesley Brown records a song entitled This Little Child that kind of helps us to understand the incredulity of Jesus being the Savior. And the words go like this. Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay? And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angels sing? And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday? And who would have thought that this little child could make a blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the prisoner free? Or who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said would take away the sins of man and rise up from the dead? So not much was thought about Jesus. In fact, Jesus lived his first 30 years of life in relative obscurity in a despised town called Nazareth. And so even when Jesus appeared on the scene And he went about teaching and preaching, even though people recognized that his teaching had greater authorities than the scribes and the Pharisees. There was yet this doubt about who he was. Can anything good come from Nazareth? People asked. But as we recognize, Jesus grew. He became popular with the people of Jerusalem especially. And eventually, he was crucified because he became a problem for the religious authorities. But that was why he came. He came so that he could die for the sins, not just of people then, but the sins of the whole world. So his first coming was not particularly auspicious. But his second coming is going to be much different. Jesus is going to return to this earth, not as a baby, but he's going to return as an all-conquering king. Matthew 24 verse 30 says that Jesus is going to come in power and great glory. People will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. People will not be looking down at a baby Jesus, but they must now look up to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they will look up both literally and figuratively, because Jesus is going to come from heaven, come from above. And it says that when he comes back, every eye will see him. His coming will not be a small, relatively unknown birth to an obscure couple, but everyone is going to see him when he returns. When he returns, it will not be joy to the world, but we are told that all nations are going to mourn because of him. We are told that when he comes again, it's not going to be peace on earth, but it's going to be the end of earth as we know it. And 2 Peter 3 tells us that the earth and everything in it is going to melt with a fervent heat. And interestingly, Jesus will not return a second time for all of mankind. When he came first, he came to bring salvation to everyone. But when he returns a second time, he is returning simply for his own children, that he can take them to be with him forever. So the message of Christmas is that Jesus is coming to earth again. And we are told as believers that we are to look up because our redemption draws nigh. But that day will be for some people a day of dread and trepidation. It will not be something to look forward to. And so as we contrast Jesus' first coming to his second coming, I want for us to note some very simple things about the contrast. People have been hearing about Jesus' coming for a long time. For his first birth, it was prophesied about 800 years before he actually came to earth that the Messiah, the Savior, was going to be born. But in 800 years, people forgot and people lost hope of this Messiah turning up to set people free. And primarily for the nation of Israel, who expected and who looked forward to this Messiah who would come and set them free from any kind of subjugation from any other people. But they lost hope. But those 800 years gave people time to prepare for his coming. It is the same with Jesus' second coming. It is now over 2,000 years since Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be returning again. And so people have had a long time to make preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, many people have forgotten about it. Many people have lost hope in the fact that Jesus is returning again. That is exactly the attitude that the Apostle Peter predicted in 2 Peter chapter 3, when he says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised?' Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." So in essence, people today are doing a similar thing with the promise of Jesus' second coming as they did with the promise that there would be a Messiah in the first place. people forgot, they lost hope. Second thing about these two comings of Jesus, only some people were looking forward to his coming. We read specifically in the Gospel of Luke that Simeon was looking forward to the coming of Jesus. We are told that he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And he had received a promise from God that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. When he did eventually see Jesus as he was brought to the temple, Simeon was able to exclaim that, "Lord, you can now allow me to go in peace because I have seen your salvation." There was also Anna, who was also waiting. And when she saw Jesus, she was then able to go out and to proclaim to people that the Lord's Messiah had come. But not everyone was looking for the Messiah to come. Israel had pretty much lost hope under the oppression of all these outside forces that ruled them. It's much the same with believers today. There are many people who are not looking forward to the return of Jesus, but believers who read the Word of God are looking forward to Jesus' return. So much of our world is not looking forward to that. They're not even thinking about it. They're not even considering it. But for those who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are waiting, anticipating joyfully the return of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter, again, in 2 Peter 3, tells us, since everything is going to be destroyed when he comes back, what kind of people are we to be? And he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So, as believers, we are among those few persons who have heard the word of God, have heard the promise of Jesus and of the New Testament that he is going to return, and we are looking forward to that. But there are many people in our world who are not even giving consideration to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. A third thing about this coming is that it will be sudden and it will be unexpected, and it will take many people by surprise. In the same way that when Jesus came, it took many people by surprise because people had lost such hope that, you know, they did not really expect that the Messiah would come, and definitely not in a lowly birth like that of Jesus. In fact, when the wise men traveled to Jerusalem and they turned up asking about this king who would come, it says that Herod's reaction was of surprise. You know, who would be this king who would be born when no birth has taken place in my palace? So it says that when King Herod heard the wise men's question, he was disturbed. And further than that, all Jerusalem was disturbed with him because he was probably pretty angry. He was probably wanted to find out who this king could be, who this person could be. And his being disturbed was of such that he wanted to make it his business to find out who the person was so that he could get rid of them. So Jesus' coming was sudden. Imagine the wise men just turned up at Herod's palace to ask that question. Jesus' own words tells us that his second coming is going to cause such surprise. It's going to be such an unexpected event. Jesus says that he is going to come like a thief. And the Apostle Paul adds to it, and he says that he is going to come like a thief in the night. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, when people are saying peace and safety, when they're saying that everything is all right, there's nothing to worry about, then Jesus Christ is going to return. That is the very time when people are complacently thinking, oh, the world is going to continue as it has been from the time our parents, grandparents, ancestors were living. But it says no, that Jesus is going to put in his appearance at a time when people are not expecting it. But at the same time, believers, people who hear the word of God, should not allow the day of Jesus' return to catch them totally unaware, because we are aware and we know that it is coming. So while it may be sudden and take many by surprise because they don't expect it, it may probably only be unexpected for us in terms of its timing. But we are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, that he may take us from this world and he will take us to be with him forever. The last thing that I want to say about this comparison or contrast between the first coming of Jesus and the second is that with the second coming of Jesus, there's going to be a final reckoning and accounting that every person must give. In the Gospels, and especially the parables of Jesus and the parables about the kingdom of heaven, almost every single one of them ends with some type of separation. The parable of the talents ends with two servants being rewarded and one having the talent taken away from him. The parable of the 10 virgins, some virgins get into the wedding banquet, others are shut out. But in every single one of those parables of the kingdom, there is a separation. You have people being left out of the banquet or being put out of the banquet hall, people going away into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The images that are presented shows the anguish of people who are going to be excluded. And in Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46, Jesus explains the separation. He explains who will go where and what will be said to them. And he tells us why they will receive a particular fate. Jesus says that people are going to be separated into sheep and goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. And I read for you from Matthew 25 some excerpts of what will happen at this time of accounting. In verses 33 to 34, it says, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then in verse 31, it says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There will be a separation when Jesus returns. And we have to make sure that when that time comes, that this separation does not find us being apart from him. So whenever we come to this time of Christmas, we must not simply be celebrating history, celebrating what happened in the past with the coming of Jesus, but we must remember that Christmas must always be a double celebration. It is celebrating the past, yes, the first coming of Jesus into our world to be our Savior, to suffer and die on the cross for our sins, to grant us forgiveness and reconciliation with God. But it must also be a celebration of our future, when all of the troubles, heartaches, pains, trials of this life will be forever banished, and we will go to be with God and be forever in the paradise, the place which God has prepared for us. Father, I pray that you would allow this Christmas season to be one where people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. These things we ask in no other name but the name of Jesus. God bless you, and I trust that you will enjoy the remainder of this Christmas season.
because